the Lord has made, let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to our worship service this Palm Sunday. We're grateful that you're all here, that you braved the weather. Yesterday morning was one of the most beautiful mornings we've seen in Central Virginia in a long time. And by the afternoon, it reminded us that we're not in control. So we are grateful that you're here, and we're just appreciative of being able to have a comfortable place to meet, to worship our Lord. Because we know brothers and sisters around the world worship in conditions far less comfortable than we have. This is Palm Sunday, and I, from that, hope that all of you have your palm. During the first hymn, we'll be waving that during Hosanna. If you do not have a palm, Webb or Kelly can get one. If you don't have a palm, raise your hand, and we'll get one to you. Also, if you are new to our service, in light of the adjustments that we had to make during the COVID pandemic, the two things that might be a little different for most of you in worship is we do not pass offering plates during the offertory. You can come forward or to the back for the offering. And then the other thing is, instead of using the one common cup, we all have our individual cups. So if you did not get a cup of for communion, please avail yourself to that on the back table in the narthex. A couple announcements, and then we'll share prayer requests, is we have a couple services this week, Holy Week. We have a Maundy Thursday service at 7 p.m. That will conclude with the stripping of the altar in preparation of the death of our Savior on Friday. But then again, because we know the end of the story, we do that knowing that we will, Lord willing, gather together again at 7:30 on Easter morn for a brief Easter sunrise service, which is always just a jubilant time to get together. Then we'll gather back again at 10 o'clock in this sanctuary for the resurrection of our Lord day. And then the final announcement I'd like to make is that following the worship service today, we've been having a committee, and we had a wonderful attendance at the first one, just ways in which we can be more effective and just more creative in the adjustments that we're having to make given all the things going on in society. We met at Webb and Carrie's house. The last time we met, we outgrew that. We're going to meet together again for 30 minutes or less. We're going to honor your time and not make it too long. But immediately following the service, Webb will begin and commence that meeting. I will walk out to greet those that can't stay. But if you can stay, we'd love to have everyone's participation, because in the multitude of counselors, there's great wisdom. So we want that multitude to stay and share your wisdom. Any other announcements this morning? Yes, sir.
Tom, I want to thank everybody that bought me food while I was down with the COVID, and I appreciate everything you've done for me and my family. Y'all, I mean, I had so much food, I couldn't eat. I mean, and some of you, man, I went back for seconds on some of it, and I couldn't get none because it's all gone. And milk, 5 gallons of milk. I swear, we ain't never had that much milk in our life. But I thank every one of you, and I'm glad to be here with you today, and I'm sure we didn't miss the church. And Heather would like to say something too, please.
Thank God for all the homeless supplies for the homeless people. Thank you.
That's great. Well, we love you, Heather. We love you, Robert. We love your family, and we're all family in and under the name of Christ. So glad you're doing well. Any other announcements? Any prayer requests that you'd like to share? If you'll look with me to the list of prayer requests, like last week, we've had some other deaths. We want to keep Tricia Williams and her family and the death of her dear cousin, Susan. We said goodbye to one of our probably most delightful members. He was just a wonderful addition to our church and our men's group. John Wright, who was 95, he passed away, and just a delightful man. And then we've been lifting up Carrie's aunt, I guess it would be, Andy McDaniel, and she passed away. And I did not know. We've been praying for Andy for about a year, but I had not Googled her, and I saw a clip on Facebook. But Andrea McDaniel was a very well-known news anchor at NBC 12 in Richmond for like 25 years. And so a large community is grieving her untimely death. So we pray for all of them. And in particular, we want to lift up Carrie and Darby in our prayers. And they are visiting a niece now. And Webb is going to be absolutely alone for 10 days. And he's been crying the blues. So say a prayer for Webb and having to bachelor for a week and a half. Any other prayer requests? Any praises or concerns you'd like to share? Seeing none. Yes, sir, Brandon. Let's pray for Barry as he travels to Kansas. Not only traveling there, but being in Kansas and the weather situations. Thank you, we will. Any others? Then let's go to our Lord in prayer. Our gracious, kind and loving Father, we thank you for the privilege we have of gathering in your name, for the welcome that is extended. We often through life understand restrictions more than welcome. There are reserved parking spots. There are clubs that we can't join. There are those that we just can't seem to win over. There are job opportunities that are denied. There are doors that close. But when it comes to your grace, we're thankful for your gift of salvation. We today praise the holy name as your son's cousin did when he declared with praise, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And we thank you that that appeal and invitation to grace extends to all of us, even me. It comes to us in the kindness of Jesus Christ. And on this week, we will join together with the church around the world to see and reflect upon the great compassion of our Savior. May we anew during this Holy Week be led to comprehend and appreciate that gift that was given to us. For this right of access into your presence was purchased not by gold or silver, but by the precious blood of your dear Son, our Savior. So we are eternally grateful. We worship and praise his holy name. We thank you that you care not only for our eternal abode, but also for those concerns we have, those things that weigh upon us. We're so grateful that you've brought health back to the right household. We pray and just thank you so much for Robert and for Cheyenne and Heather and Dallas. And we just thank you for their commitment to you and to each other. And just it's just a joy to have them in our family and for us to be in theirs. We pray that you'll continue to be with biological families that have suffered loss. We think of the family of Susan Williamson and of John Wright and Andrea McDaniel. Bring comfort into each. We pray that you would be with all of those that are traveling, in particular for Barry Everett, and for all of those who have employment that on a regular basis have them out in difficult and weather. We just thank you for the diligent work of those that serve us in so many ways. We are eternally grateful. We also, as your word calls us, pray for all those that serve us, both abroad and at home. We thank you for those that lead us. We pray for them, asking that they would follow the dictates of your word. And we just thank you above all things for the precious name of Jesus Christ. And it's in that name offer our prayer. Amen. If you'll look with me on the front of the bulletin, we gather in that holy name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with the living Spirit.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that all who believe in him receive forgiveness of sins through his name. We will add a reading. If you'll look to the insert, we will call each to worship. And then before our hymn, where you will participate by the waving of your palms, we will have a processional gospel reading. Let's call one another to worship using a portion of Psalm 118 by whole verse. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter them. I will offer thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord. He who is righteous may enter.
I will give thanks to you, for you answered me and have become my salvation. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes.
On this day the Lord has acted. We will rejoice and be glad.
Hosanna, Lord, Hosanna. Lord, send us now success.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord.
God is the Lord. He has shined upon us. Form a procession with branches up to the horns of the altar.
You are my God, and I will exalt you.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Amen. The gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it just as it is written. Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they had heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, See that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. Amen.
Thank you.
first reading is from Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 to 12. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double.
Precious gift and use it for our agenda. Interpret it along the lines of our best understanding to fit into those neat categories in which we would like to assign all things, including the deity. Forgive us, we pray, those attempts where we have sought to domesticate the radical nature of your grace. Forgive us of those times where we have thought you came to give an imprimatur to our way of doing things. We thank you that you did not come to create a religion. You did not come to give us four noble truths or an eightfold path or even impeccable theology. We thank you that you came to redeem a people. You became one of us to redeem us from ourselves, to restore us to that place that you created us, to be fully alive, to be one with you, to have that sweet fellowship that our original parents had walking in the cool of the day. We thank you for opportunities as we gather together with all your people to have glimpses of what eternity will be, where we will join our place with the praising throng of people from all four corners of the world, lifting up our hosannas to the only one worthy of all our homage. We praise your holy name and thank you that the privilege to do so is based only upon the will of the Father, who transferred us, giving us the authority to be your children through the gift and finished work of Jesus Christ. And through that authority, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Second reading is from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born into the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Thank you. further your kingdom to the glory of God and the good of our neighbors. Amen. Amen.
Gospel reading is Mark chapter 14, verses 1 through 10. And it was now 2 days before the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to arrest him by stealth and kill him. For they said, "Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar from the people." And while he was at Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he was reclining at table, a woman came with an alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard, very costly, and she broke the flask and poured it over his head. There were some who said to themselves indignantly, "Why was the ointment wasted like that? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor." And they scolded her. But Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do good for them. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. And truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her." Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ. You may be seated. Join with me in prayer. Our precious God, we ask that your Spirit will open our hearts and our minds. May the thoughts that we have be honorable and acceptable to you. And may my words be directed to point only to your word. In that name we pray. Amen. Any of you who know me, you know that I am a collector. And a collector is different than a hoarder. I don't know how, but I'm going to stress the distinction till the day I die. I'm not a hoarder. I'm a collector. And throughout my life, I've collected, all sorts of things. I've collected pocket knives. That was a big one for a long time. I've collected pipes, not lead pipes, smoking pipes. I've collected watches. I've collected decanters. I even have been known to collect a book or two. But in all my collecting, you have to go to different haunts to find them. And I've been in many antique stores up and down the eastern seaboard and at auctions and rummaged through many estate sales. And if you are a collector, you'll learn very quickly there's a big difference between cost and value, between cost and worth. Cost is what someone will pay, and it's often not anywhere close to what the accurate assessment of one's value is. The reason I don't like much collecting at all now is because of eBay. eBay had a way of drastically elevating the cost far above the worth, but that's a different story that I'd be glad to pontificate on at your own time. Just call me and I'll give you that opinion. But today, I just want to focus on the difference between cost and value, or worth. Worth is from that old English word that speaks of something that's beautiful, comely, that has its own intrinsic value. It doesn't derive that from anything outside of itself. It's the Greek word that we see here, beautiful, kalos, which is one that has an intrinsic value. It's intrinsically noble. It's precious. Not because you could fetch a high price for it, because it has intrinsic value. And our text this morning is the distinction between those that understand cost and those that understand worth. It's sandwiched between two stories that are quite ugly. It's ugly to only know the cost. Ugly only recognizes in a crude way what something costs. Beauty, however, recognizes value, and Mark does what he so often does. Between two ugly stories, he sandwiches this beautiful picture of one who truly understood the worth and value. Jesus said in verse 6 that Mary, and we don't know it's Mary from Mark's gospel, we know it's Mary from John's gospel, Mary has done something beautiful for me. How was it beautiful? I'm going to give you three very brief reasons or answers to the question of why it's beautiful. The first reason it was beautiful, it was sacrificial. She took an alabaster jar full of a precious ointment, nard. It was indigenous to India, very expensive. And this was probably a family heirloom. And I want you to picture a jar that has a long neck, and it would be sealed. Because once the neck was broken, it would begin to lose its pungency, it would begin to lose its value, it would eventually not be worth anything. And until it was broken, it was sealed. But once the seal was broken, it was pretty much worthless from a cost standpoint. And this is why the critic Judas doesn't say, let's take it and sell it. It's more of a regret. He said, it could have been used to feed the poor had you not broken it. But once it's broken, it's worthless. On a side note, that's why judgmentalism is so ridiculous, besides being repugnant to the grace of God. It's just ridiculous because it misses the understanding that when it comes to anything of value, it's either perfect or it's not perfect. It's either meant or it's not meant. And once it's not meant, near meant doesn't count for God. Near perfect doesn't work. And they understood that once this alabaster box was broken, this neck was cracked, it was sacrificed. And her act was beautiful because it was sacrificial, but it was also beautiful because it was sincere. She had done a good thing. It's interesting to me, Mary is the first person in Mark's gospel to get the significance of Jesus Christ. We're going to see in a bit in the sermon, and you see if you read Mark, Mark has a way of, a literary way, of posing the disciples as being quite ignorant, but Mark loves to lift up women as being the intelligent ones, the spiritually in tune ones, the ones that get it. And most of us men would say, we agree with that. Women tend to get it. They do. And her knowledge comes from having a living faith. If we look at Mary here, her gift was beautiful because it was sincere. The chief priests and scribes we saw, they wanted to capture Jesus. Judas wanted to betray Jesus. But she wanted to get Jesus, and she got Jesus. She understood this truth. She wasn't obsessed with the cost. She knew the worth. She knew that this had value. Jesus earlier would call, in the Sermon on the Mount, those that don't get the value of something, the worth of something. He had the short but quite accurate description to call them pigs. You remember in Matthew 7 when he says, don't take that which is precious, that which is valuable, that which is a pearl of great price, and throw it into a trough where those will not recognize the value and the worth. Mary was not a pig. Mary got it. She understood. And this worth was not grasped because she figured it out. This worth was grasped. She got it because she was grateful. When we read Scripture, we need to make sure we don't read each pericope in a vacuum, that we read in the entirety of it. John 12, that has this exact story, follows John 11. And if you remember John 11, the story is where Jesus brought back from the dead his
best friend Lazarus. And do you remember Lazarus' relationship to Mary? It's her brother. So she is out of this gratitude of one that not only is this loving, compassionate Lamb of God, but it's one that gave my brother back his life. The one who said, I am the resurrection. And it's out of this gratitude that Mary sees and understands and comprehends the worth and value of Jesus. So for her to give her nard, it didn't matter to her what it cost. She was far more interested in the true value and worth of Christ in her midst. So it was sacrificial and sincere, but that always leads to the third aspect of her gift, her beautiful thing. It was misunderstood. You understand that, don't you? You understand that sometimes your very best is misunderstood by others. You understand that your true and sincere sacrificial desires can be misunderstood, and sometimes misunderstood most acutely by the ones closest to us. And so with Mary, it says in verse 4 and 5 that she was sharply, or they criticized her, they condemned her. And in the Greek, it's literally they snorted at her. And I want you to picture a bull snorting out of anger. They didn't just disagree with her assessment of Jesus. They were totally agitated. They were indignant like the disciples were last week when James and John got the jump on them. And that's why they're so angry here. They said it was because they cared for the poor, but you know that was a cover. They didn't care for the poor. Their real concern, the real reason why they were angry and snorted at Mary, is out of her gratefulness, out of her sincere, beautiful act, her true, sincere faith sort of upstaged their scheming. Jesus saw that. He understood that in a real way, this family heirloom that often, as you see in the Song of Solomon, was part of the dowry, in a real way, Mary, as a grateful bride, was giving her dowry to her bridegroom. As she understood that, as we are the bride of Christ. He gave his life for us. So it's fitting for us to give our dowry, our all, everything we value to him. This is the relationship of love, and it's a beautiful thing. And her act of beauty was beautiful because it was reflective of what Jesus did. See, Mary's act of beauty was not her own. When I do eulogies at funerals, and I have a love-hate relationship with eulogies. In pastoring for 35 years, I've seen eulogies over that period of time just grow to where they are the largest part of some funeral services. And the truth of the matter is that our only hope in life and death is not that I accomplished a lot, but it's Jesus Christ. So I point to Christ, but a eulogy has a proper place. But what I always try to do, for it's biblical and it's encouraging, is that when we talk about Mary's beautiful act, when we talk about, for instance, John Wright and his wonderful, gracious way, when we talk about anyone who loved in a pure and good way, we have to have the words of 1 John. They loved because Christ first loved them. Mary responded beautifully because she had received beautifully. Because we know that just like her gift was sacrificial, Christ first gave the ultimate sacrifice. Just like her gift was sincere, Christ first gave us the sincerity of all that he was. Just like her act was misunderstood, Christ's act is misunderstood. For he warned us, they're going to hate you because they hated me first, but keep on loving others. Jesus said, this was such a beautiful act, her getting my worth and value
that this will be known throughout all time. Her memorial, he calls it. And the emphasis isn't on her. It's on the memorial. See, she did something that normally is not done. If you remember the story, Jesus was heading toward death. And like we read in the scripture, like we heard in Philippians 2, like you well know, it wasn't an honorable death that Jesus was heading towards. He was heading to the death on a cross. He was heading to the death of one who was cursed, a criminal's death. Brothers and sisters, they may give honor to whom honor is due, but in this period, nor in any other time, did they anoint the body of criminals. That wasn't done. And so for Mary to do this beautiful act of anointing a body that was going to die a criminal's death was scandalous. And that's reflective of the beautiful way in which he gave his life and honor us while we were yet sinners. Do you see the, as Luther called it, the divine exchange here? He was anointed, which wasn't fitting for a criminal's death. He got an honor that his death didn't warrant. And we get a salvation that our life doesn't warrant. We get a salvation that's a beautiful gift. We don't earn it. I was talking to a pastor 2 or 3 weeks ago, and we were discussing, and he made an interesting comment to me. The irony of it still, it's one of those statements you don't know whether you want to laugh or cry, or maybe a mixture of both. With great sincerity, this individual said to me, "I believe in grace, I just believe it has to be earned." Brothers and sisters, a beautiful teaching from beginning to end of this beautiful Savior that we have. It was he was made emptied. He was emptied and made worthless. That in him, those of us who are truly empty and worthless are declared righteous. And we are, because of him being made sin, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He was made ugly so that we could be made beautiful. Let me close with a wonderful story. One of my favorite authors was an Orthodox priest, Father Alexander Shimnin. And Shimnin was a Russian. He spoke Russian. That was his native language. And he tells a story, quite to his own chagrin, that when he and his fiancée were traveling in Paris, they were on a train. And I'll pick up from his journal. "We were very much in love, and we were bound up in each other on this train. The train stopped, and an elderly French woman, a very ugly woman, got on, dressed in the uniform of a Salvation Army worker. She came and sat near us. My fiancé and I, in youthful arrogance, began to whisper in Russian about the ugliness of this old woman. The train came to a stop. And as the old woman got up to leave, she said to us in perfect Russian, 'I wasn't always ugly.'" Brothers and sisters, reverse that. Reverse that. For Mary would say, in the humility of her understanding the worth of Jesus Christ, "You've done a beautiful act." And she would say, "But I wasn't always beautiful." And we have the opportunity, the responsibility, as Jesus says in Matthew 6, "To let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which are in heaven." But when we do that, when we give a cup of cold water, when we show love, when we act as a family of God, when we do those things that look like beautiful acts, our point of witness is we say, "Yeah, but it wasn't always beautiful. I was redeemed. I was made beautiful in that precious gift
of one who was willing to be made sin for me and for you. Amen.
Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.
You'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is our joy and destiny to praise you, Lord God, for in wondrous love you cast stars into space, and in meek obedience your Son surrendered to cruel nails. With loving kindness you called your people in Abraham, and in covenant with Moses you bound up your life in theirs. Through exile you stayed close to them, and in Jesus you came among them, bearing the fullness of grace and truth. Your Son Jesus faced rejection, cruelty, and death. Yet in resurrection you exalted him, and in sending your Spirit you shed glory on all people. And so we rejoice with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, singing the song of your unending praise.
Holy, 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 Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna is our cry, blessed one. Your son comes on a donkey in your name. As Jesus entered Jerusalem to bear our sorrows and suffer for our sins, enter our hearts and confront our waywardness today. Send your Holy Spirit upon us, that we may be your son's crucified and risen body. Send your Spirit upon this bread and this wine, that they may be for us the true body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. May your Spirit come upon this bread, this wine, that they may be for us the cup of salvation, together that they may be for the world the body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who at supper with his disciples took bread and gave you thanks, blessed it and distributed it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again.
Humble God, your Son did not exploit his status, but emptied himself. Pour out your Spirit on all who are exploited in world or church, on all who are humbled by state or employer or family member, on all who are emptied of hope, faith, or love. As you highly exalted your Son who had become a slave, highly exalt your children who suffer for righteousness, or grieve those they have cherished, or bended the knee to one who does not honor them. Fill the earth with your justice and peace, until every heart shall sing and every tongue confess that you are the joy of their desiring, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, ever one God in all ages and forevermore.
Amen. Amen. the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I mentioned in the sermon Mark's use and highlighting women in his gospel. There are only two humans that Mark praises in his gospel. I find that very instructive to us. In Mark 12, Jesus praises the widow, not for the abundance of what she had accumulated, but because she gave her all. The only other person Mark has Jesus praising is Mary in the 14th chapter, who again is praised simply because she gave her all, her love. This is reflective of what we read in Philippians 2, that he gave his all, emptied himself for us. We come to him not bringing anything in our hand. For anything we would bring in our hand does not aid, but that is rather the problem. We bring nothing in our hand, and simply unto his precious body do we cling. Therefore, as a called minister of the gospel, I offer this, the Lord's table, to all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth. You are welcome to come and to receive him who came to die for all. We come knowing in sincerity and truth that this is the very body of Christ, the bread of heaven. Partake together. Precious gift of our Savior, his blood shed for us and for many. In this gift is the remission of sins for all who believe. Drink ye all of it. We thank you, our Father, for the gift of your Son and the presence of your Holy Spirit to take the scales from our eyes to see the goodness of the One in our midst. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We receive him in faith. We're nurtured by his love. And we go forth having feet that are precious, for on our lips we point to the One whose worth is above rubies, who saved our soul. In his holy name, amen. Thank you.
I didn't hear any of you singing with me. Make sure you correct that by next Sunday as we begin on Easter, singing together. You know, this, all these things with the pandemic have been sort of like a forced Lent upon us as we've had to give up different things, and it's so blessed to be able to bring them back. So vibrantly sing the praises of Zion with me next week. Let us hear the benediction. Would you stand with me as we do? Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
God bless. The service is over. Go in peace to serve the Lord.